Thank you for downloading this podcast from the Echo page. Echo membership will provide you with unlimited access to other educational material, as well as a huge number of other advantages. Please check this out at www.echo-ibd.eu.
Welcome to this podcast. My name is Pamela Baldin. I'm a pathologist in Clinique Universitaire Saint-Luc in Brussels, Belgium. This presentation is about diagnosis of dysplasia in inflammatory bowel disease. Precancerous lesion in inflammatory bowel disease is defined as dysplasia and is characterized by unequivocal neoplastic alteration of the intestinal epithelium that remains confined within the basal membrane in which it originated. Based on the degree of cytological and architectural atypia, it could be graded in low grade or high grade. The term undeterminate for dysplasia could be used when it's not possible to discern about presence or absence of dysplasia, frequently due to intense inflammation. Dysplasia could be of conventional type. This is a synonym of intestinal type and is the most well recognized form of dysplasia. However, other patterns of dysplasia can occur and they are referred to as non-conventional dysplasia. IBD-associated dysplasia is classified separated than dysplasia in general population. This because IBD-associated colorectal carcinoma dysplasia developed through an inflammation dysplasia carcinoma pathway, which is different from the adenoma carcinoma sequence described for sporadic colorectal cancer in general population. So, these two types of dysplasia carcinoma are characterized by different molecular and genetic alteration. Patients with IBD are monitored regularly in order to detect dysplasia and early carcinoma by endoscopic surveillance. Following SEMIC classification, SEMIC is for Surveillance for Colorectal Endoscopic Neoplasia Detection and Management in Inflammatory Bowel Disease Patients, International Consensus Recommendation. On colonoscopy, lesions are classified in polypoid as pediculated or sessile, flat as multinodular or plaque-like, or barely visible. Concerning polypoid lesions, in the past was important to differentiate sporadic conventional adenomas and adenomas promoted by the IBD inflammatory environment, because of the different characteristic of carcinogenesis sequence, as I mentioned at the beginning of this presentation. Several papers try to find histological criteria for making this distinction, but in general there aren't very reliable histological features to make it. Fortunately, the current view is that demonstrably complete polypectomy followed by continued surveillance is sufficient treatment for polypoid lesion in inflammatory bowel disease. If there is a concern from the clinician on whether the polypoid lesion is inflammatory bowel disease associated, then could be included a comment in the pathology report stating that the histologic distinction is unreliable and that continued surveillance may be appropriate if complete endoscopic resection of the polypoid lesion was achieved. However, if a typical adenoma has been found in mucosa not known to have been affected by chronic colitis, pathologists could suggest that probably is a typical adenoma. Concerning flat lesions in IBD patients, in 1981 the term dysplasia-associated lesion or mass, so DALM, had been coined. Given that DALM was often associated with invasive carcinoma, in presence of this diagnosis, surgical resection was always recommended, independently of the degree of dysplasia. However, it has been shown that not all visible dysplastic lesions require colectomy. Nevertheless, the perceived gravity of the diagnosis of DALM persist. So, in light of this issue and other advancement in endoscopic visualization and local endoscopic excision of dysplastic lesion, it has been recommended to abandon DALM terminology in favor of colitis-associated dysplasia. Recently, the concept of colitis-associated dysplasia has evolved, and the novel histological classification of IBD-associated dysplasia has been proposed. which covers the entire known morphological spectrum and classifies the lesion into 7 subtypes. The first one is adenoma-like, so the conventional one. Then we have hypermucinous dysplasia, traditional serrated adenoma-like, sessile serrated lesion-like dysplasia, serrated NOS dysplasia, dysplasia with increased Paneth cell differentiation, and the goblet cell deficient dysplasia. These types of dysplasia have been included in the latest WHO classification of IBD-associated dysplastic lesion. Recent papers, such as a study from Xiongyong Gui et al. Published in 2020, describe the histological and molecular heterogeneity of this different type of dysplasia. In the major part of the cases, they occur mixed with conventional dysplasia, and they are more commonly graded as low grade. In general, when they are alone, they are typically presented as polypoid lesion in the left colon, and they are frequently associated with colorectal cancer, as described by Lohners et al. The main histological features of these types of dysplasia are the followed. Concerning hypermucinous dysplasia, it's characterized by a tubulovillous architecture with tall mucinous cells representing more than 50% of the lesion. It's typically show low-grade dysplastic feature affecting the crypt with mild nuclear enlargement and hyperchromasia and elongated, slightly irregular nuclei. Notably, the degree of atypia tends to decrease toward the surface of the lesion. Concerning traditional serrated adenoma-like, is a tubulovillous lesion with epithelial serration, light by elongated nuclei with intensely eosinophilic cytoplasm and ectopic crypts. A sessile serrated lesion-like dysplasia is characterized by the presence of a prominent serration and dilatation at the crypt base and surface, including dilatated L-shaped and inverted T-shaped crypts at the interface with the muscularis mucosa. Serrated NOS dysplasia shows a complex serrated architecture without defined features of traditional serrated adenoma or sessile serrated lesion. Despite having minimal nuclear atypia, it is frequently associated with colorectal cancer, which showed a similar nuclear morphology. Then, dysplasia with increased Paneth cell differentiation is characterized by elongated hyperchromatic nuclei and increased Paneth cell differentiation present in cluster of crypts. Despite some loss, goblet cells are easily identified. Then, goblet cell deficient dysplasia is characterized by a complete or near complete absence of goblet cells. Diagnosis of dysplasia could be very tough, especially when inflammation and regenerative changes are prominent. For this, several authors tried to find ancillary immunohistochemical technique to help in this diagnosis. For this purpose, the immunohistochemistry for P53 has been studied. In different type of dysplasia, also in other organs, P53 expression is alterated, and particularly P53 could be highly positive due to the absence of degradation of the mutated protein, or completely absent due to a truncated protein not recognized by the antibody. Some studies on IBD showed that an abnormal expression, especially highly positive, is associated with severity of neoplastic lesion. For my opinion, diagnosis of dysplasia in the major part of cases could be done on hematoxylin and eosin section alone. However, P53 immunostaining could help pathology to be more confident in make the diagnosis in complicated case. To conclude, it's important to underline that also for dysplasia, easily access to clinical information and a good communication with the clinician is fundamental in order to classify lesion easily and optimize patient management. Thank you for your attention.